All right, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is July 29th of 2005, and if it's not July 29th where you are, it is the tape you're listening to, or a pre-played program or something like that, or a CD, or some kind of digital format,
or you're on the other side of the world,
or you're past New Zealand. I'm not sure exactly how much of the 30th is already on the planet, but some of the planet already has. The 30th slice of the planet is slowly growing, and after 24 hours, it'll be the whole planet, and then a slice of the, the next day comes in. That's the way it works.
Cool. So somebody somewhere is already in tomorrow.
They're already there.
Man.
And it's possible that somebody could still be in yesterday. Not anymore now, I don't think, but it doesn't matter. Who cares? Anyway, we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson, live in Pensacola, Florida. Lovely Pensacola, Florida. Jonathan, every time I look out that window, I see the broken tree limbs reminding me of the hurricane. Do you see them over there?
I had one of them, this large tree right here in front, actually dropped one of my van once.
There you go.
Several months after the hurricane.
Down the street, 50 yards. There are some big ones. Yeah, oh well. Hurricanes blow through here once in a while, but that's okay. We like Pensacola. And we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. The earth is about 6,000 years old. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. The Bible is 100% accurate in every detail. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools in violation of the First Amendment is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. It leads to all kinds of dumb conclusions and dumb actions. People assume there is no God, so they get to be God. Absolutely dumb idea. Oh, okay. Jonathan's got me a couple articles here. Associated Press today. Super magnet. 420,000 times stronger than Earth. Tallahassee, Florida, Associated Press. This definitely ain't no refrigerator magnet. The new super magnet at the National High Magnetic Field Laboratory weighs more than 15 tons and has a magnetic field 420,000 times that of the Earth.
It's a big magnet.
Don't walk by it with your cell phone.
Yeah, or your fillings, I guess. I don't know.
Pull the fillings out of your head or your computer. Would that be hard on the computer, wouldn't it?
You know, that might be enough magnetic pull to actually let you know which way is north. Like you were talking about just a couple of days with the iron in your blood.
Strong enough to pull a metal object out of a person's hand and send it flying if people were allowed to get close enough. The laboratory, one of only 9 high magnetic field labs in the world, unveiled the new magnet 13 years in development on Thursday. Now, who paid for this?
I don't know. What are we going to do with it?
What do you do with it? Where do you put it? Right. While the use of magnetic fields may not attract the interest of the average person, the new device is a major breakthrough that's exciting the scientific community and could lead to major advances in medicine, materials research, and basic understanding of nature, i.e., read that evolution, right? This could help us learn about how we evolve from a rock. Yep. Let me translate this part of it. I love translating these things, okay? It's a breakthrough that's exciting the scientific community and could lead to major advances in medicine. Now, save the planet. I'm not against it. It's a wonderful idea, but that translates to send money.
They probably will have a lot of really amazing things come out of this here. There's no doubt that some idiot out there is going to say, this right here is going to help us discover our origins and blah, blah, blah. And they try to suck it into their little, idiocy, I guess.
Yep. Well, I don't care. If people want to do this kind of research privately funded, that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose there's even a place for government funding in some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, it gets just, they spend millions of dollars on the dumbest things,
Yeah.
But this,
might actually be really good. I guess it'd be kind of like a light microscopy.
Whatever.
Yeah, however the Australians say it. But, the evolutionists really take this stuff and just waste it. I mean, this is a big magnet. It might actually be kind of cool.
15 tons. We could put it in front of the buildings where the terrorists are going to be coming in, to blow something up and suck them right in.
Suck them right into it.
Right. Anyone that attracts, bombs, so as they walk by, they all stick to it. You got a bomb on you? No, sir. You're like, here we go. We are extremely excited about the prospects, said Tim Cross, the lab's spectroscopy and imaging program director. Get my tank tangled up here. It's not as powerful as another magnet already in operation in the lab, but one thing that has scientists positively charged about the new one is the size of the chamber in which objects are placed to be exposed to the magnetic field. As things go, it may seem small, just over 4 inches wide, but as magnets go, that's enormous, about twice the size of the sample chamber of a standard magnet. This magnet is a world record because it has a very high magnetic field over a very large volume. We'll be able to study the kinds of materials that can't be studied in any other magnet around the world. The $16 million magnet also is more advanced in the stability of the magnetic field, a lack of variation that makes for better experiments. And it operates at a high frequency, making for better images in experiments where the magnet is used to essentially take pictures of cells and molecules. So what do you do with such a big magnet? One application might allow scientists to build a better mouse brain.
Mouse brain?
We need that. The world needs a better mouse brain here.
Yeah.
Or at least a better picture of it. Cut the mouse open and take all the pictures you want. There's
make
a lot
mold.
Of mice, and they're always making more. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
$16 million to see a mouse brain.
Wow.
You do that with a hammer.
We've got some in the science center here that we feed to the snake, you know?
Yeah, I would say you can get 97 cents, go buy yourself a hammer and do the same thing.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Or at least a better picture of it. When researchers study the brains of mice, they use magnetic resonance imaging, MRI.
Well, which was invented by a creationist.
A creationist.
Young creationist.
By the way, I need the link for the scientists who lie, you know?
Yep. Oh, yep. I'll get that for you.
Let's see. The advantage is we can use live animals, said Billy Bray, an assistant scholar scientist at the lab. The large chamber means live mice can be studied. The whole mouse can fit in there rather than just a small part. And a higher magnetic field means clearer, more detailed pictures of the brain. Well, you know, I was sure hoping we would get a better picture of a mouse brain. I've been needing that for a long time. Amen. Okay, here we go. Next one, Live Science Senior Editor from, let's see where this one's from, Johnson?
From livescience.com.
Oh, livescience.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go, Breakthrough. New Way to Peek Inside the Earth by Robert Britt. The heart of our planet is largely a mystery because scientists can't go there or see what's inside. Geologists have just one tool, seismology, with which to probe the inner Earth. The contents of the tool bag just doubled. Ooh, wow, we got two now. For the first time, researchers have detected tiny particles called geoneutrinos coming from deep within the Earth. The discovery is expected to shed light almost literally on the contents and processes of the planet's inside. There are still lots of theories about what's really inside the Earth, said Giorgio Gratta, a physics professor at Stanford University, and part of the 87-member team that made the discovery. We're doubling the number of tools suddenly that we have, going from only seismic waves to the point where we're doing essentially simple-minded chemical analysis. Interesting. Earth's core is incredibly hot and dense. The outer part of the core is thought to be a liquid, while intense pressure forces the inner core of iron to be solid. The exact composition of the core and the lower reaches of the mantle, which surround the core, are not known. Interesting. Geoneutrinos. I'll have to keep my eye on that, see what happens with the research here. Because I know when I taught earth science, we told the kids, you know, we know surprisingly little about the inside of the earth, basically from, you know, seismograph. You get the S&P waves and traveling out around from the earthquake, and they measure this. It's kind of like taking a sonogram, sort of the inside of the earth, but it's really, really crude. And one thing they discovered, Jonathan, when they do the imaging of the earth's core, what they can study of the earth from seismograph, they discovered that the earth actually, there are pillars. The continents seem to have, you know, roots, sort of, going down inside.
Hmm.
It's solid, you know, you got the solid crust, but it's thicker, and it almost has roots. The Bible says the foundations of the earth, says the earth on pillars, you know, it may literally be true.
Hmm. There's also a, you know, wide archaeological research museum. They actually use seismographs to, you know, pretty much comb the ground over there in Turkey to check out the ark site.
So using a ground-penetrating radar.
It's kind of like, same principle, I guess.
Right. Yeah. They're finding, you know, holes in the earth and, you know, underground tunnels and stuff like that. You figure over there in Jerusalem, that area's been lived in for, you know, nearly 4,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff people have hidden in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
When I was over there, we went way down underneath the temple, and we were walking along this tunnel, you know, and they showed this massive stone. How they cut and moved that stone, I don't know. If I recall, it was like 6 feet by 6 feet and, you know, 50 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
Big rock. And it's one of the foundation stones to build the wall on, these massive walls. pretty cool. Okay.
They had a Ford or a Dodge or something back then to pull that thing.
It'd be a Chevy.
Chevy.
Yeah.
It would be a Chevy.
That's what I got. With my new transmission.
Yep.
$1,700.
They're cheap nowadays.
Yep. Well, we got 117,000 miles on it before it went out. And most of that's pulling a trailer, so it's not too bad. Okay, here we go. Government misconduct. We tried to cover some things on here. I had a guy. He answered mail last night till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I should get the letter. Diane has it somewhere in there. A guy wrote me a letter and said he was raised by two lesbians and was really confused about life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, duh.
Obviously. Yeah.
And, hi, Mom. Good morning, Mom. How you both doing? And he bought my videotapes and got saved.
Cool.
And just really made a whole turnaround in his life and all that kind of stuff. If you haven't seen our videos, folks, on creation, you need to go to drdino.com. Normally has all that,
mm-hmm.
but it's down right now.
It's down right now, yeah. I guess the network guys are saying they're going to have a computer built up and running for the weekend here. Hopefully we'll have that going, and I will stay up here until it's going. So.
What happened was, this morning, a fuse blew on a telephone pole down the street. Knocked out power for the whole street at 6:15. I got up shortly thereafter and heard beepers going off all over the place as, you know, all the power surge protectors and battery backups were beeping.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, like, how many computers in here, you know?
Yeah, over 40, I think.
Okay. And so we called the techno guys here and had them come in and took the generator up, et cetera, and didn't quite get it in time, and battery backup ran out of juice, and hard drive crashed.
Ouch.
Now, according to evolution, complicated things just automatically work.
This would get a huge surge of electricity. I mean, boom.
And turn it into
life.
A current. Welcome back, folks. DrDino.com. Coming up in a few hours. DrDino Live is our screen name if you want to get a message to us. We'll be back.
One of the greatest helpers for Truth Radio in the past has been those of you who have signed up for Lifeline telephone service, long-distance service, local service, internet service, and now the Lifeline company, Lifeline Communications, is offering service through T-Mobile. If you have a cell phone or if you would like to have a cell phone service that really works and has really modern, neat equipment and a great approach to this whole business of cell phone, and you want to help Truth Radio at the same time, then may I recommend that you call 800, that's 800-311-2418, that's 800-311-2418. And tell them that you want to sign up for T-Mobile through Lifeline. Phone 1-800-311-2418. Your participation with Lifeline will help Truth Radio. 800-311-2418.
Ice cream help? Ice cream? Oh, come on, Dad. I've been working 80-hour weeks. I've wanted that job more than anything. Thought for sure I'd get it.
Let me give you some advice. Son, do you remember your great-great-great-grandfather?
I don't think I ever met the man.
Neither did I. But he was a man with hopes and dreams, too. Do you know what he dreamt of more than anything?
No.
Me neither. But do you know how much money he made?
No. How much?
I don't have any idea.
Is this going anywhere?
Son, only the things we do for God are important. In the light of eternity, everything else is either forgotten or turns to dust. Are your priorities straight?
No, I don't think so.
Come on, let's get some ice cream.
Thanks, Dad. I really appreciate it, but I'm going to go home and buy my son some ice cream.
Now you got the idea.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live on the 29th of July, 2005. And we like saying it. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. I got the testimony here, John. Let me read that, and we'll take our caller and then some of your instant messages here. This is from Gavin, written to us from California, of all places. To my brothers at TFC, first and foremost, thank you so much for freeing me of the ridiculous idea of evolution. I was raised by lesbian mothers, and they used to tell me that God was a crutch for the weak-minded people, and that the religious were being fed lies to control them. I watched your video, 101 Reasons Why Evolution is Stupid, when I was an atheist, and I recall being taught of a lot of the stuff that was on the DVD. It made me feel that maybe I had been lied to while I was growing up. So I sought God, and He found me. I've been a Christian for about a year now, and I'm so happy that I know the Lord. It goes on and on and on about the testimony there. Great. Amen. We're glad. And give it to your mothers. It was up to Chicago. And they can get saved, too. God loves everybody. Okay, who's on the phone there, John?
I believe we have Eric on the phone.
Eric, yes, sir. Go ahead.
It's funny you mentioned respect last time. On the program.
Mention respect?
Yes. I would have just an audio recording, but you said that I don't respect my elders. That's what you said? Something else.
We've got it recorded. I don't recall the exact words. Something to the effect of, it's interesting. No, you're 17 years old, I'm 52, I have two doctorate degrees, and I've taught school for 15 years, and you call me by my first name, which is fine, but that most people would say that's disrespectful.
How is that disrespectful?
Instead of Mr. Hovind.
We're having a nice conversation.
Well, instead of Mr. Hovind or Dr. Hovind, it's most adults would think, coming from a 17-year-old, that's disrespectful, but it doesn't bother me. I'm just pointing it out. It shows something to somebody somewhere, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
It's funny you mentioned respect on your show, because I try to show a complete respect for even some of your most ridiculous things. And there you are mocking science, scientists, and basically any religion or belief that goes against what you say.
Well, I guess there's probably a difference between mocking the person and mocking the idea. The idea can be really stupid. You can still have respect for the person, but what they believe is really dumb. That's what we have with evolution. We have a really, really dumb idea that we all came from a rock. I think that's stupid.
You know, I'm getting some feedback here. I suppose he could fix that. It's kind of hard to talk.
Huh.
Myself echo at the same time.
I'm sorry. It sounds good on our end. I'm not sure what's going on here. Jonathan, we didn't touch the system today. Sometimes we have to use Jonathan's phone in the radio studio here for calls. So we're careful not to miss it. Anyway, Eric, did you have a specific question today?
Yeah, I was talking to Jonathan about this the other day. You mentioned your radio program that Islam, of all things, stupid.
Some of the things they believe. Have you read some of the things they believe in Islam? Are you talking about the nation of Islam or Islam, the religion?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Well, there are two completely different things, so I'm just making sure that we know what you're talking about.
Well, we'll talk about it.
The religion?
Yes.
Okay. The Quran, which they call their holy book, over 100 times says pretty clearly that anybody who won't convert to Islam should be executed.
We'll stop right there and talk about that. We feel like to debate one thing at a time, right?
Oh, yeah. Very good. Sure.
Okay. It seems kind of impressive. Bible says that don't believe in God and don't bother mentioning basically if you don't believe in a certain thing you're going to hell. I don't really differ.
Well, I guess that's God's prerogative to say He's going to send somebody to hell, but for a Muslim to say I'm going to send you onto the grave is a little different.
It's slightly different than that too.
Right?
The Bible doesn't say you're going to hell because you don't believe.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter because you just made an assertion. It doesn't say if you don't believe you go to hell. You go to hell because you're a sinner. And, you know, a person doesn't die from cancer because of
everyone.
Exactly.
But a person doesn't. When a person dies from cancer, it's not because they didn't take the cure. It's because they had the cancer. That's why they died. And if a person dies without Christ and goes to hell, it's because they're a sinner. Not because it's God's fault. God offered them a way out, and he provided everything good, you know. But they chose to reject it or not accept it. So they still don't. They don't go to hell because they reject Christ. They go to hell because they're sinners.
I'll tell you this, Ken. The whole idea of this going to hell because they reject me, Ken.
That was just cleared up. Again, you just ignored the last 30 seconds of what we just said. You're not sent to hell because you reject Christ. You're sent to hell because you're a sinner. It does make sense. What kills a person of cancer?
If someone doesn't believe in God, do they go to hell?
That's a result of their sin, but not of them believing in God. Not believing in God. What kills a person who has cancer?
Does cancer, if someone doesn't believe in God,
hold on a second.
Then they
if
go
some,
to hell.
If somebody,
hold on. At that.
No, because you've got
a
false cause here. If you have cancer and you die, why did you die?
Cancer.
Exactly. Not because you refuse to take the drug, but because you have cancer. That is the cause of you dying from cancer. You will go to hell because of your sin. Not because you rejected Christ, but because of your sin. You're getting your cause and effect thing stuff. You don't go to hell because you reject Christ, and you don't die from cancer because you reject you die.
Let's get back on point here. He was saying about Islam, that I said it was dumb. I'm looking at the Quran, Surah 18, verse 86, where it says, when he, that's Qual Qurnayn, reached the setting of the sun, he found that it set in a pond of murky water. Now tell me, Eric, does the sun set in a pond of murky water? Is that scientifically inaccurate, and is that, would that be considered dumb?
Well, I don't know, dude. Do oceans spread up and allow people to walk them?
That
scientific?
That would be a miracle, but to claim the sun sets every day in the pond of murky water is scientifically inaccurate. A one-time miracle is a little different here.
Are you kidding me? The sun sets in murky water. It's probably talking about a poem as some kind of poetic deal. Why are you bringing this up?
So I just read, you know, I don't know what the Quran teaches. Surah is the name of a book in the Quran, 18, verse 86.
I can see, you know, David's point, or Eric's point, there. That may be some type of figurative, you know, like
okay.
The corners of the earth. So, I mean, but it's, there's so many crazy things that it says. I mean.
Well, it's not that I don't like Muslims, and I'd love to win them to the Lord. I've had friends that were Muslims, and I've talked to them. We've had many good conversations. But what they believe, in some areas at least, is not only real dumb, it's real dangerous.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, good conversation with Muslims. Are they aware of what you said about them and their back?
Well, I tell them right to their face. I say, what you believe is dumb.
You said they're right, too.
Sure. Send one on the program. Probably some listening now. Surah chapter 5, verse 36 says, Allah told Muhammad that all those who opposed his message should be killed, or they should be nailed to a tree, or their hands and legs should be cut off. Surah chapter 47. When you meet those who disbelieve, fight at their necks till when you have killed and wounded many of them.
Now, wouldn't you agree that eternal damnation is quite more of a punishment than, say,
you're
killing
them? You're confusing here what God does to his creatures and what their creatures do to each other.
I don't care who does it. Kill wrong. It is ridiculous.
Well, that let's take up with God. He makes the rules. But as far as, God does not tell me to kill anyone who won't convert to Christianity.
I think isn't there examples in the Bible where God told people to go out and kill people?
It wasn't for not agreeing. Certain people were killed for certain reasons in the Scripture. Sure, we have wars all the time. We're going over there, not Afghanistan killing people and Iraq killing people. Some wars are justified, some are not. I don't know if either of those are justifiable. But the fact is, you know, were we justified to go into Germany and try to take out Hitler? I think so. There probably was a darker political objective of saving IG Farben's company, you know, the oil producers and stuff like that. There probably was also a love of money involved there somewhere. But basically, you know, certain wars of aggression where you are taking away somebody else's stuff, that's not good. Now, if you are protecting yourself from aggression, that's perfectly fine. Man, somebody breaks into my house to rape my wife or kill my family. I'm going to get out the 357 Magnum and the 12-gauge shotgun and whatever else I got around here, and we're going to try to explain it to them in a language they can understand. You don't do that. I would never hurt anybody intentionally.
When life throws you a curve.
Bottom of the third, here's the 2-2 fastball. It's deep to center.
Hit a home run. Here's Rise Above with Rob Rosenblum.
Where do your favorite artists stand when it comes to God and the Bible? Have you ever thought about it? Do you think it matters? Or could you care less as long as they have a good beat? There are a lot of musicians out there with negative messages and positive ones. The question is, which are influencing you? They only influence you when you let them. You have the option to buy or not to buy their CD, or to listen to their song on the radio. If you don't want junk in your mind, don't buy junk. It's your choice. Your parents can try to influence you, but ultimately, it's up to you. Rise Above and think about it.
Rise Above with Rob Rosenblum is a production of Rise Ministries at RiseMinistries.com and is made possible by Northwestern College, a distinctly Christian liberal arts college in Orange City, Iowa. Visit nwciowa.edu.
www.truthradio.com.
Let me ask you, would you go to a fast food restaurant for filet mignon and lobster? Then why do you bother going to a politician for a solution to your problems based upon morality? Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. I read that in a letter to the editor. And I think it was worth passing on. And I would like to challenge your thinking to spend less time pleading with your congresspeople and more time getting people, your friends and others, to listen to Truth Radio. We need to build the audience for Truth Radio, and you can help through your emails, a brief reference to Truth Radio, through your conversations with friends, handing out little cards with Truth Radio mentioned. We appreciate all the help you can give. Thank you for listening, and bring along others with you.
Ken Hovind and Jonathan Sampson here. We start at 4:30 Central Time every day, Monday through Friday, and you're welcome to join us by calling 850-479-3466, 850-479 or 877-479-3466. Go to extension 136. Or you can instant message us, AOL Instant Message, America Online, and Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLiv. And Eric is on the phone. Go ahead, Eric. Your comment was, I forgot. I've been busy during the break.
Hey, Eric. Does that? Because they claim that anyone believes killed.
And I said you're confusing what the people do to the people compared to what God does to people.
Well, it shouldn't matter. You should still be accountable.
Okay, do the Christians tie bombs on themselves and walk into crowded nurseries and blow up themselves and kill all the babies and all the people in the nursery?
Abortion clinic bombers?
Guess what's happening in that abortion clinic?
Quite debatable. You have abortion. Go on. Go off and look. Yeah.
That's a really tough question to answer, believe it or not, Eric.
That's why you can't.
Well, are they murdering a baby in there? Are they taking an innocent life?
They're not exactly. No.
Well, neither were some of Hitler's guards.
Exactly.
That doesn't matter. You could have a really nice, really nice.
It's lawful.
Lawful does not change what it is, though. It doesn't matter. It's lawful in this country to drink. That's lawful, too.
It was lawful in Germany to kill Jews because they were classed as non-person.
But it's not the same thing.
Exactly the same
thing. It is. It doesn't matter if they're hostile or not, or if it's legal or not. Are they taking an innocent life in those abortion clinics?
You're getting away from the point.
I'm just asking a question. Are they taking an ending in life?
You're getting away from the point.
It's a yes or no question.
God says, no,
it is a yes or no question, Eric.
The actions of Christians.
Eric does not want to answer that one, I don't think. So.
We'll take that as I don't want to answer it. Okay, Eric, answer your question. Does God send people to hell? I would say people are going to hell with or without God. He is wanting to prevent that. So, if
well,
we look at it backwards.
He gives us evidence doesn't support it. That's what happens.
No, everybody is going to hell, and he not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he provided a way out, and he's hollering, hey, follow me, go this way, and people are like, you don't want to go that way.
You can't prove that hollering at us. There's no evidence to support that.
Okay, well, he has left us behind a book that has survived centuries of ridicule and persecution. He's preserved his word for millennia.
That's kind of ridiculous.
What's that?
Act as evidence. I mean, the Quran is a book, too, and what does that matter?
The Quran is a book that contains very obvious scientific errors. Show me
scientific errors.
I'd like to see one of those.
Moses tried parting the waters and told me that's not a thing.
I wouldn't say it's a scientific error.
Yeah, it's a scientific error.
No, it's a miracle. I can't explain it by scientific means.
Can I ask you why? Why is that? Hold on a second. Why is that a scientific error? It doesn't matter. Why is it a scientific error? Because
an error.
Perhaps the creator of the universe is able to do that, therefore it's a scientific error? No. That's ridiculous. And I'm sure, this magnet that we just read about, 420,000 times stronger than the Earth's magnetic field, if we would have went back 200 years ago and told somebody that we would have this, oh, that's a scientific error. That's ridiculous. You can't do that. You know, that's ridiculous. Because you don't understand
it. It's hard to base this on radio. One is two versus one. But
you called in.
I know I did.
Okay.
And I will keep calling in, trying to explain this.
Sure.
But when God enters the realm of equation, less science.
But it doesn't make it a scientific error. It makes it a miracle. It makes it supernatural. I agree, but it doesn't make it an error.
I would disagree that you leave the realm of science.
It won't be explained. Therefore, that part.
No, you mean it won't be explained naturally?
Yeah, there may not be a natural explanation with our current scientific understanding, but that doesn't mean it's an error. I would say it's a miracle, it's like walking on the water or healing the blind or raising the dead. I've walked on water up in Michigan.
We don't see
frozen.
A lot of the claims of evolution. We don't see birds turning into dinosaurs. We don't see birds. Show me a bird turn into a dinosaur.
The other way around. Dinosaur turn into a bird.
Evolution. Here.
You're agreeing we don't see that?
Oh, we can't.
Oh, we can't see it.
Stop doing it. Stop it.
I'm asking you. You're sitting here trying to.
I'm trying to
discredit the Bible, saying that we can't see God's great, and we can't see Christ walk on water. We can't see this. Therefore, it's not scientific. But whatever I ask you, when I ask you why we don't see dinosaurs turn into birds, you say, "Well, we can't see."
There's at least evidence.
That's why it's a religion. It's a belief. I think there's evidence that Jesus walked on water because there are quite a few witnesses that reported it.
Oh, there's evidence there. There's witnesses that report walking on Sir Bigfoot and Neil. Take that as evidence.
I don't know. We should certainly investigate it. When you get a bunch of witnesses that say something, it's worthy of investigation. That's where guys like Michael Shermer.
But you see, there's no evidence. God just.
You don't?
Unless you believe in it. So.
But see, that's not true either, because so many conversions just recently, I'm going to have to actually look at the name, but one real prominent atheist actually converted over to Christianity when about several months ago. Converted. He's not a younger creationist, but he's
converted.
Did he
give a reason why?
Huh?
Why?
Yeah, he was saying the whole theory of evolution, after he followed it for many years, just wasn't sufficient.
Or maybe it was Christ going to hell. That's quite a...
Could be too, I don't know.
See, if I were to change, that's quite excellent. Everyone's afraid of going to hell.
I'm not going. I'm not going either. I deserve it. Man, I deserve it, that's for sure, but I'm not going. I've been forgiven. And he'll do the same for you if you'd like.
I don't have any of God's facts against the idea, against the Bible. So, what you have them is, then you don't believe him.
No.
Why would he create a situation?
Well, you're phrasing it wrong. People are already going to hell because we all have sin natures. We're sinners by nature. God is not willing that any should perish, and he's provided a way out. So it would be incorrect to say God is sending everybody to hell. He's wanting you to come to heaven. But that's up to you. You can go to hell if you want to.
Well,
I don't want you to
hell,
either.
I don't even think there is one. So
okay.
Matter.
Well, when you get there, you can bang your coffee cup on the bar and say, I don't believe in this place. I don't believe in this place. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Why does that make sense? It doesn't tell us. Now he plants things like dinosaurs in the ground that make us doubt him.
Dinosaurs don't make me doubt him. Make me marvel at him. Those
yeah,
are giant creatures. How could we marvel at a giraffe?
It's ridiculous that things were living while man did. It seems like the scenario would be impossible.
But let me ask you just a real quick question. Go real back to the basics. Why does it seem ridiculous? Just tell me... The basics. Why does that seem ridiculous that man lived with dinosaurs?
Because for man to live with dinosaurs would involve a lot of supernatural restrictions.
Why do you think that?
Because naturally, they cover you.
How could it be that you have the wrong idea of what dinosaurs were like? All we find are the bones, you know. I mean, you don't know what they did. Or when they lived. I mean, is there a chance that maybe you just are believing the wrong thing about history, and that's why it seems ridiculous? I mean, Catholics, if you walk up to them and say, hey, the Pope can't forgive your sins, they're going to say, that just seems so ridiculous. Or, yeah.
Well, Eric, have you watched my video number 3?
I haven't watched any of your videos. Why do you keep asking me this?
Because this is the source of the whole problem. If you would watch them all, you would become an independent, temperamental,
fundamentalist.
I told you, watch the first 2 online. Call me when you've done it. I'll ask you a few questions about it to see if you really watched them. Because after all, if you're an atheist, how do I know you'll not lie, you know? What's the reason to tell the truth?
Just...
Pardon me? What do you
think?
Oh. Well, if you will watch the first 2 online, you know, it's available for free. You call me and say, hey, okay, I watched part 1, watched part 2. That's probably all it'll take to get you converted. It shouldn't take much more than that. But, you know, then I'll send you part 3, part 4. And when you watch them, really, really honestly watch them, I think it'll answer all of your questions, and you'll see what wonderful people Jonathan and I really are, and you'll say, wow, I want to become just like them. Taller than me. Don't be just like me.
No, I've already watched half of your whatever.
Not even for $20?
I don't know. It's just tempting, but I have a job now.
Oh, well, that's good.
But, you know, it's just the fact that God sends people out that don't believe in him.
Eric, we've already explained it like 12 times on here.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm trying to be sweet here, but
you keep
saying the same thing over
fact,
and over.
You can't deny that that's what happens. People don't believe in him.
It's what happens. It's what happens, but that is not the cause of it. The cause of going to hell is not because you rejected Christ. The cause of dying from cancer is not rejecting the cure.
You have the cancer in the first place. So you're telling me he didn't expect Christ yet to heaven. That's what you're telling me.
There's one way to heaven. Oh, I've rejected Christ many years in my life. I'm going to heaven now. Rejecting Christ, you know, once doesn't send me to hell forever. I mean, I've rejected him whenever I was partying, whenever I was drinking, I was rejecting his teeth. So
it's always time to repent and, give heart to the Lord, as long as you're living.
Yeah. Walk outside and get hit by a Mack truck.
All right, but I think your basic premise is wrong, Eric. Let's just say there's a country in Africa where everybody's dying of horrible diseases, and the cure is readily available, but they don't have it over there. Okay? Or somebody brings it to them, and they reject it. Either way, when they die, the cure has nothing to do with them dying. The disease has something to do with them dying.
Mm-hmm.
The cure is available or not available, oh well, but the fact is they die because of the disease.
Now, you're not going to use an analogy again.
Trying to get you to understand something.
You know, this is why we usually don't ever respond to things like this. It's quite hard to respond to.
Well, because it's good sound logic.
You can't compare religion to God and just... You believe it's here, but I don't. It's pretty persistent.
Oh, I know, but you will if you keep studying.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Well...
I can't... The fact is that the reason I called in today is to talk about respect. I know I'm not respecting you, but I don't think I can, but you have no respect for evolution, no respect for any other belief other than...
No. I have great respect for science. I respect science. Science is things...
I just say that.
Well, no, I don't respect...
I still don't think that you... But that's hard to debate. I'm just saying that anything they don't believe in is...
No, I don't respect the idea that we came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago or were related to a chimpanzee or an orangutan. That's a dumb idea. There's no scientific evidence for that. Somebody chooses to believe that? Okay.
What we see as a natural everything around us and say that have a theory that would change and then it's definitely
It is part of science to say things can change, but it's part of a religion to say there are no limits to that change. Sure, you get big dogs and little dogs, but you never get dogs as small as a flea or dogs as big as a
Texas. It's just science. A lot of people consider it
a fact. I don't think you understand what the scientific community defines a theory as. A theory in the scientific community is simply a fact. A theory is a well-tested hypothesis.
What are you talking about?
It's just like germ theory or the theory of gravity. Whenever they say theory, they're not just meaning some frivolous little idea that they're out there.
Well, theory doesn't have a lot of evidence for it.
Correct. Exactly. So don't get caught up in this idea that thinking that a theory is just some playground idea that they're messing with.
Yeah, hypothesis is much less than a theory.
Well, we're dealing with oranges. Why not?
Because these people believe that when they say theory, it's equivalent to them saying this is a fact.
Or at least it has a lot of evidence.
They believe it's a fact.
Sure, some of them probably do.
But it's not. It's nowhere near a religion.
Right, correct. But
because you can find evidence, change the theory.
Right.
Not a religion. Religion is something like, let's say, Christianity, a book, and it's not changeable at all. You have your set guideline of things.
Well, there's a problem there, though. Dr. Hovind, you've got video number 6 in your seminar series, the Hovind Theory.
Right.
The Bible says that there was a flood. It says it.
And many other cultures say there was a flood.
Exactly. You can look in the creationist rings. There are dozens of models of the creation, dozens of models of the flood, dozens of models of ice age. Christians are doing science trying to figure out how these things may have happened.
Well,
so we don't just have all the answers.
I don't even know why you bother doing that. Why not just say God did it? That's basically what
Because that's ridiculous.
Done the whole time.
That's ridiculous. We're out to, further science. Well, creationists are the ones responsible for actually
you
giving you all the
that, supernatural explanations thing wasn't ridiculous.
Oh. In a scientific community, just to say God did it, that's it.
That's basically what you're doing.
No.
Yes,
Eric, you need to study the history of science. Every major branch of science was started by people who said, I wonder why God did it this way. It started by creationists.
Okay.
Study the history. My
well,
fault.
You know, everyone has natural curiosity.
Sure. It'd be like if I found a, you know, a UFO out in the parking lot. I'd walk out there and try to take it apart and say, wow, I wonder why they did it this way, you know?
Yeah.
Or they haul it off to some government laboratory and just try to reverse engineer it. Why was it done this way? And people have tried to reverse engineer God's creation. That's what science is all about. Wow, that's interesting. How do these plants grow? Wow, how do they get the minerals out of the ground? Through osmosis, through the cell membrane. That's interesting. How does this work? All of science should point to the intelligence of the designer, the creator. There's no conflict between science and the Bible. There's a conflict between science and evolution.
But actually, you know, the gaining of knowledge is one of the things that the Bible encourages so strongly.
Oh, man.
All right, now, I also have a quote here. Mark, the one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe is condemned.
Uh-huh. Is already condemned. That's what that Bible
is. No, this,
yeah.
This is what I'm talking about, basically.
Hey, which Bible are you reading from?
You know what, I'm done.
All right.
Give up.
Eric, thank you for calling. Don't give up. We're not going to give up on you. We're going to pray for you, and we want to get you converted.
Well, no, you skip around on so many things. I mean, why can't we just...
Hey, you're the one...
You know, it's pretty simple. If you don't believe you're going to hell, why can't you just take that?
You're the one that skipped to a new subject and started quoting a Bible verse. Mark 16.
Well, I called in.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, Jonathan's going to read the verse to you, Mark 16:16.
I just asked what Bible, you know, what Bible version you're using, because they do say some very different things. From...
Sure. And we stick with the King James. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that get that out of it.
Well, the King James one says, the one who believes not of us is already condemned.
Yeah. Condemned already.
Condemned already. Because he believes not. That's what condemns him.
Anyway, Eric, we appreciate you calling. Don't give up. We won't give up on you. And you keep trying to convert us. And you may do it someday.
That's right. Kind of logic.
Well, okay. I think we're looking at it pretty fair. And we appreciate you calling. All right. Folks, if you're going to join the program, 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. And you can instant message us, AOL.
Something in my hand I think you should own, and I'm not going to try to tell you that you don't already have it, but you, I am confident, do not have it all in one piece like you would if you owned a copy of the Citizen's Rule Book. Do you have a copy? Well, this is in your shirt pocket, full force research at your fingertips, having to do with how to behave as a juror, the Constitution itself, the resources in here are just tremendous. And I'll be glad to send you a copy of this if you'll send me enough for postage plus a dollar. Whatever you want to contribute to Truth Radio, I'll send you a copy of the Citizen's Rule Book. Just get back to me at Post Office Box 344. Nipomo, California, 93444, and it will be coming your way.
Hi, I'm Lee Strobel, author of The Case for a Creator. As you know, evolution and naturalism are taught in public schools as scientific truth. But in my new book, The Case for a Creator, I reveal the evidence from science that clearly indicates God is the architect of the universe and the author of life. I've explored six different scientific disciplines and asked key experts for the latest data. Wherever I look, the latest evidence points straight toward God as our creator. Consider the evidence from astronomy. Everything about the Earth, from its position in the universe to its complex geological and chemical processes, work together with perfect efficiency to create a safe place for humans to live. Astronomer Guillermo Gonzalez and science philosopher J. Wesley Richards said it would take a star with the highly unusual properties of our sun to nurture living organisms on a circling planet. numerous factors such as the right mass, the right light, the right distance, the right orbit, and the right galaxy make our solar system and our location in the universe ideal for a habitable environment. Harvard-educated astrophysicist John O'Keefe of NASA said if the universe had not been made with the most exacting precision, we could never have come into existence. He believed that these circumstances indicate that the universe was created for man to live in. As you can see, there's plenty of new scientific evidence that affirms the universe was created by God. This alone is reason to celebrate, but we must continue to build and share this new knowledge. Read The Case for a Creator or visit caseforacreator.com and prepare yourself for meaningful discussions about intelligent design. And if you think this evidence from astronomy was compelling, you should hear the proof from biochemistry.
Ken Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live July 29th, 2005 in Pensacola, Florida. Website should be back up. Sorry about that. Had a power glitch that destroyed a hard drive and the backup won't boot up because of something kind of computer glitch, Jonathan. Do you understand all that?
All what you just said? Or
for
all the computer
broke.
Stuff?
It's broke. It ain't working. But it's going to be.
Yeah.
We'll have it fixed.
Maybe evolution doesn't work for us because we're so harsh. I don't know.
We're hard on it. We pick on it. And
yeah.
Maybe that's why it's not working for us. Or we're not waiting millions of years. I bet if we waited a few million years, that the whole computer room in there would just crumble to dust.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if some new wires would kind of ooze up from the dust. Of course,
yep.
With the dust, you know, that's what it all started out, you know, dirt and rocks and stuff like that.
Yeah, but lightning strikes, man, can do amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Make things come alive.
We have to actually take this stuff outside, put a lightning rod sticking out of it, and then hope for the best.
I got hit by lightning one time. I don't recommend that for anybody.
Well, you're taller.
No, I used to be 6'5", not only 6'1".
Oh,
lightning, yeah.
Smaller and more efficient.
More efficient.
Like new cell phones.
No, actually, we're climbing down an aluminum ladder. We tried to hurry and get the roof covered up before the storm hit, and it blew in fast. One of them fast in Arkansas. Hit the ladder mostly, but boy, it knocked me 2 feet in the air and broke my elbow, and it came down on a rock.
Ouch.
Who cares? It is revolting. Shocking experience. Hang on a second. I need the browns here. Go ahead. Give out the details and we get a hold of the program, Jonathan.
Yep. We are here in Pensacola, Florida. Beautiful sunny day. You guys can right now on the internet instant message your questions on AOL Instant Messenger. Comments, criticisms, or anything like that to Dr. Hovind or myself over Dr. Dino Live. That's our screen name, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And we've also got a great telephone number. It makes a lot of sense to it. Really parallels the whole scope of the ministry here. It's 1-877-479 Dino.
Dino. We like dinosaurs.
It's extension 136 if you want to get on the program today.
All right. I'm reading from Office of Research Integrity, ORI. We try to read one of these every day. These are the folks who check out scientists who, believe it or not, lie.
Scientific misconduct.
People who you would think with us, once they put that lab coat on, I mean, it's like holy, 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 you know.
Bow down, kiss the ground.
That's right. And the clipboard, I mean, surely, they're speaking ex cathedra.
I've got a clipboard, a real clipboard upstairs.
Wow.
I carry it around sometimes when the kids are here because it just jaw drops and makes me look so brilliant.
Somebody did a test here recently with over 100 people. They had a person walk in, depending how they were dressed, you know, what kind of respect they showed them. When the person had a lab coat and a clipboard,
mm-hmm.
to look like a scientist.
You gotta mess your hair up real bad, too.
Yeah, it was incredible. The difference in the way, oh, wow, stop and listen to the guy, you know, holy, 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 the Lord's in his holy temple. I'm not against, I love science. I've done it all my life.
I love white jackets. White
coats. I taught 15 years high school science. I love science. I'm not against science, but I'm sure against, you know, making it like there's some kind of God, or maybe they can't make mistakes, or they won't lie. You know, yes, they'll lie. Here's Vicki Hanekin. Case summary, Vicki L. Hanekin. Department of Health and Human Services and the Office of Research Integrity found out, she falsified lab reports
no.
for 12 people. She falsified lab reports on PSA concentration for two other participants. She falsified the physician and the nurse's records for 10 participants. She fabricated the nurse's records for two participants. She made it up. People didn't even, weren't even involved. She made it up.
This lady, a woman, did all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Falsification of data on patients' history and physical forms for 21 people. And she entered false data into the SWOG computerized database, S-W-O-G. Can you believe somebody would falsify the SWOG?
They polluted the SWOG.
Polluted the SWOG. Wow. For 13 people, Ms. Hannigan has entered into a voluntary exclusion agreement in which she has voluntarily agreed for a period of 3 years, beginning March of 2004, to exclude herself from contracting or subcontracting with any agency of the United States government, and from eligibility or involvement in non-procurement programs of the United States government, as defined by debarment regulations of 45 CFR Part 76. And she agreed to exclude herself from serving in any advisory capacity to PHS. And she agrees to put her stamps on right side up on her postage from now on. Okay.
Well, that is, stay out of the SWOG.
You can lie and lie and lie and lie and lie, and your punishment is you can't deal with the government anymore. You can go ahead and lie someplace else, but not the government.
That's a punishment. Not dealing with the government is a punishment?
That'd be wonderful.
I was going to say, what in the world? It's like awarding her something.
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't even talk to us for 3 years. We don't want to hear from you.
Okay. That'd be fine. Adam Brower. Sorry it took so long, Adam. Writes in a question. I have a question. How can I handle people who always try to shut me down when I defend Christianity by saying that I should keep my religion in my church? How would you suggest I deal with people like that? Well, first of all, they don't tell you what to do. God tells you what to do, and God already told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So,
tell them that I am the church, and if you're talking to me, then you're voluntarily putting yourself
right.
in contact with the church.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
And you're the church wherever you go, okay? And so you can't do that. Plus, you can't obey the commands of God, since your job is to go out and evangelize the world. 5 times the Great Commission is given. Go preach to everybody.
Yeah, if they keep their religion in their church, too, then we'd all be happy.
Yeah, do they keep their religion, you know, away from the public, i.e. evolution? No, they want to spread it like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they want me to pay to help spread it.
Yeah. Calling the kettle black there.
Wow, yeah. Okay. How would you suggest I deal with people like that? Keep preaching anyway. They don't want to hear it, go somewhere else. Shake the dust off your feet. Find somebody who wants to listen. Okay? Also, Adam goes on to say, what is the best way to deal with people who would say you need to study the Bible in its historical content? I would agree with that. Go for it. I think you should study it in its literary content, in its cultural content. I think there are some cultural things in the Bible that you need to study to have them make sense. For instance, the idea in the Bible of who is a son, you know, a son-in-law is considered a son. Okay.
There were things also, you know, we had the gentleman, the Messianic Jewish guy, come over here for Passover just about a year ago, and it really made me want to look more into extra-biblical historical things like just the Jewish nation and traditions and history. You know, it's not necessarily studying the Bible, but if you're studying the Jewish people, you can learn some really amazing things that you never even saw in the Bible. For instance, he was talking about, and a Jewish man, when a Jewish man leaves, if his clothes are just kind of tossed there, then he's not coming back. So that's how his family knows something. But if clothes are folded, then he's coming back. That's the way for a Jewish man to say, I'm coming back, my clothes are folded. And it made me think, you know, when Christ arose from the tomb, the linens were folded.
Right.
I thought, you know, you really wouldn't appreciate that unless you knew that about Jewish uh-huh. men in history. I was like, man, he's coming back, you know.
Right.
So it was really neat. You know,
sure.
Study the history.
Study the Bible all sorts of ways. You can study it. The study of the Bible is called hermeneutics. H-E-hermeneutics. H-E-R, I got a book on that here somewhere. Fascinating study. The principle of first mention, the principle of last mention. There's all kinds of cool
stuff.
The
numbers. Check out the numbers.
Oh, numerology in the scripture, yeah.
I would like to see atheists explain or evolutionists explain how the numbers stay so consistent over thousands of years of authorship by dozens of different authors who had no connection with each other whatsoever.
Right, different continents even. Oh, yeah. Study the Bible all sorts of ways. It's like a diamond field. You know, you can stop one place and dig a hole, or you can walk around and pick them up as you travel and read through the Bible quickly, or stop on a verse and study it.
which they can do that. We actually have the Bible on double speed here. You listen to it on double or triple speed, something like that, which might be why your seminars are so fast.
Talk too fast, then.
Yeah, people say, oh, Dr. Hoban, you give a two-hour lecture in 10 minutes. It's awesome.
So the two-hour lecture actually is about 6 hours worth of stuff. Get the money's worth. Okay. Let's see. How can I counter them when they say it has been translated and reinterpreted many times? Well, that's a fair question that they're asking. But God promised in Psalm chapter 12 that he would preserve his word. Matter of fact, there are numerous places where he promised he would preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he bother to write it if he's not going to preserve it?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he has preserved it all through history. And I think we can hold a copy of it.
There's always going to be tons of interpretations. That's why we have, you know, Baptist, Pentecostals, Methodists, Presbyterians. There are interpretations, but that doesn't change the fact that God's word is there.
And that's why we have this program, since we're the only ones that are right. I mean, somebody has to be out there voicing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's called Truth Radio, for heaven's sake. You found it. So, as far as Bible being translated and reinterpreted, I would disagree. God promised he would preserve it, and what you're getting into there is the study of how God preserved his word. You might want to go to the book New Age Bible Versions, or...
In Awe of Thy Word.
In Awe of Thy Word. Boy, both of those available on our website.
There's also the Language of King James, all of them written by Gail Ripplinger, a very smart woman.
Well, we got several by Sam Gipp that are very good. There's one by Daniel. Oh, there's a good one. We just got it last week. I've got a case of them in. Jonathan, let me grab it off my desk for you. The title is, Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible?
Oh, I saw that in the bookstore.
Yeah.
Nice shiny wrapper.
David Daniels works with Jack Chick. Okay? David Daniels, great guy, good friend of mine. He's got like 7 kids, you know.
Can you open that?
I'm going to fill the book. I've got one open already.
Oh.
David Daniels has written a couple of books about the King James issue, and it's very, very well done.
So he works with Chick Publications?
Yeah, Chick.com.
And they put out the world-famous Chick Tracks.
Chick Tracks. Awesome. C-H-I-C-K. Jack Chick is probably 78 years old.
And great. Still drawing.
Oh, incredible artist.
Yeah.
Great guy. He's a good friend of mine, too. You're listening, Jack. Hey, we love you, brother. Hang in there. He says, David Daniels here, says there's not one history of the Bible, but two. One is a history of God preserving his word to his people. The other is of the devil using the Roman Catholic Church to pervert God's words through their scholars. Written in down-to-earth style and packed with cartoon illustrations by Jack Chick, this book shows that the Bibles Rome gave us are really clever counterfeits designed to eliminate God's preserved words in English, the King James Version. So, I think the book is, I don't remember how much.
It looks like an easy read.
It's very easy to read.
It's not too big. It's
half inch thick, six bucks or something like that.
A lot of pictures.
Yep. Pictures, good one. Highly recommend that. So anyway, Adam Brow, there are many good books on the subject. Our website, Dr. Dino, should be up here in another hour or so. And then you can order those, or you can call into the office Monday. I guess that's the only option now.
The whole subject itself is extremely crucial. For instance, I'm just started reading Defending the Faith by Henry Morris. And I'm in the section right now where I just finished reading the section where he's talking about how important it is to encourage people to use the King James Bible, to have that standard. You know, it seems just go much more fluidly if we all have a standard. And the King James is by far the best. I mean...
Well, I go beyond that even. Henry Morris, who I know and love dearly and, you know, sell a lot of his books and I consider him a friend, he does not take a strong stand as I think he should on the King James, you know. So I disagree with him there. Okay. A-P-F-E, Apple, Appelibivol. What on earth is a screen name like that? Because where can I find a lecture on Freemasonry? Oh, boy, there's a lot of good stuff on Freemasonry. There's a book on Chick.com, believe it or not. Chick.com. They have a book called Beyond the Light. Oh, that one is a barn burner on Freemasonry. I've got a whole section of books up here on Freemasonry. Can't put my finger on the whole section now since they rearranged the library. But we can find it. Who's on the phone there, Jonathan?
We've got Grant from Louisiana.
Grant, yes, sir. Go ahead.
You want to go ahead and finish that up? Okay.
Actually, you know, look at this. We just got, Dr. Hoban, this is the creation hour and a half right here. We just got our very first grant.
We finally got a grant.
We did.
Wow. We've been spending money like crazy, and we finally got a grant.
Exactly.
But you're not a government grant, though, are you?
No.
So, here we go.
But it's a grand. It's a start.
I'm holding the book in my hand, Masonry Beyond the Light, by William Schnoblin. This is excellent book. I guess there's 280 pages, roughly, about the subject of Masonic Lodge. We had a guy in our church, Jonathan, that was a Mason, and he came to me probably a year ago. He said, Brother Hovind, I love your ministry, but I watched your videotapes, and you mentioned on video 5 that the Masonic Lodge is bad and that they're really the god that they worship is Lucifer. He said, I'm offended. He said, I've been a Mason for 25 years. He said, I love the Lord. I said, but Brother, before we discuss this, would you just read a book? I want you to read this book. It's a quick, easy read, and then let's talk. He said, sure. So I got him the book. 2 weeks later, saw him again. He said, you don't need to talk, Brett Hovind. I've quit the Masons, and I'm telling all my friends they should quit the Masons.
Now, they're the ones who put the little hand inside the shirt like that and all the old
pictures. They're in distress, yes. They're in front of a judge, and they're in distress, or the police officer, they put their hand in the shirt. They're really in distress. The Masonic symbol is to put your arms out to the side with your hands up straight, like you make a big square.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your elbows bent 90 degrees. They've got all kinds of these little symbols, little handshakes, the way they stand and stuff like that. They let the fellow Masons know, you really ought to help me out here, you know. Don't give me this ticket, officer.
I wonder if I could learn some of those and kind of just get myself out of a ticket here and there. It's like, well, officer, my fingers are in my shirt.
Well, surely
you don't know what that means.
Yeah. Matter of you, you know. Anyway, go ahead, Grant.
Anyway, that fellow you were talking with at the end of the show last time, Jared was his name?
Yes, sir.
Said that he talked to all kinds. He hasn't talked to credible source that does not endorse vouch for the theologic column. Or you don't vouch for the theologic column. Does that make sense? Credible?
Well, I certainly believe the earth has thousands of layers of rock. I mean, I've seen them. I've been all over the world, you know, and there's no question there's lots of layers. But the question is, what does it mean? We're both seeing the same evidence, and we're coming to a very different conclusion. That's the problem. So, yeah, I guess he would think a person like me, who does not believe this, would be, you know, incredible, or, you know, not credible.
All right, well, it's more of a pun than that.
Oh, okay. Like the incredible. Yeah. Like that one professor called me the Hulk Hogan of the creationists, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If you're like me, you believe the FBI has never apologized, never had any thoughts of regret about Ruby Ridge. Well, here's FBI negotiator Fred Lansley. Hear what he says.
We fouled up in front of the entire world, and it should never have happened. And I think it was just a really disappointing day for the FBI.
The FBI later admits to covering up facts during the court case, and the rules of engagement are deemed unconstitutional.
Well, the FBI may not have officially apologized for what went on at Ruby Ridge, but it was impressive to hear Fred Lansley speak out against his bosses. That's almost never done. This DVD, new to me, is really great. Lots of good background information about the Weaver case, and Randy himself, you know, showing up and telling his story. You can have a copy if you write to me, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
Well, if you feel that way about her, why don't you ask her out?
I don't know. I doubt she'd say yes.
How are you going to find out if you don't ask?
Some things we doubt are worth finding out.
Yeah, I heard about the opening, and I'd like to interview, but I just don't think I'd get the job.
Bob, you're the best person for that job. You should go for it.
Oh, I doubt they'd even consider me.
But you won't know that unless you interview.
Doubt should motivate us to pursue an answer.
Oh, I doubt it's cancer. I'm sure it's nothing. Barb, it's a lump. You need to find out for sure.
I doubt they'll find anything.
Are you someone who doubts that God exists?
Frank, do you believe there's a God?
Oh, I don't know. Personally, I doubt it.
The question of whether God exists is an important one. Don't base your beliefs on your doubts. Turn your doubts into questions and start asking them. The Bible has a lot to say about God. Be passionate about finding the answer. A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson here live in Pensacola, Florida, July 29th of 05. And we're the folks who believe the Earth is 6,000 years old. The Bible is literally true. God made it in 6 days, just like he said he did.
Dinosaurs. Universes.
Whole universe.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs live with man. They call them dragons all through history. There are thousands of legends of these things all through history. There are artwork and cave paintings of these animals.
And they're in the Bible, too.
They did not live millions of years ago. There could be a few still around. There's certainly been lots of sightings like Loch Ness Monster. And we believe the evolution theory that we all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth, and we love saying that. But that doesn't mean we won't try to convince you otherwise. If you've been brainwashed into believing that, hey, we're here to help. That's why we do this. Okay, who's on the phone, Jonathan?
Well, we've got Grant.
Oh, that's right, our government Grant. Go ahead, Grant.
Anyway, that little jingle, is that y'all new song, or is that just come with
the show? The music they play?
Yes.
That's something that came with the show that Richard Palmquist did. He said, we usually introduce each segment with some kind of music. What do you want? I said, I don't care. So he came up with that. It's pretty cool the way they make that music with, I don't know, the computer, is it? Is it?
Probably. I used to do that. There was a good program called Magic Music Maker Pro or something like that. We used to do that.
Anyway. Go ahead.
I like your old theme song you had. Had your first series of tapes out on VHS.
Oh, the heavens declare the glory of God?
I don't know if that's what it was called, but it is.
The heavens declare the glory of God. Yeah, that's the Catch the Pirates song that he wrote. Ron Hamilton. He's a good friend of mine up in Greenville, South Carolina. And they have incredible music. I forget his website. Probably patchthepirates.com or something like that.
Go to Google and type in Catch the Pirates.
Yeah. He's got some really amazing music and some really amazing kids' adventure stories on audio tape. I mean,
there's a story behind the patch, isn't there?
Yeah, he had cancer of the eye and had his eye taken out and had because we can't even put a glass eye in. You know, we take out too much, so they give him a patch. And the kids in church started calling him Patch the Pirate. He said, well, I might as well use this for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Developed a whole ministry from it.
Patch the Pirate, is that the one with his wife kissing the frog?
Yes, his wife is kissing the frog on our video. That's it. She was a little reluctant to do that. I said, Shelly, nobody's going to see this. Just let me get a picture of it.
That wasn't a real frog, was it?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was a rose.
We've had
Did Patch know that you got his wife to kiss a frog?
Well, he kissed her next, and I got a picture of him kissing her. That's the one. Anyway.
On topic. I've read several of the Chick publications. I like picking those as light reading.
Yes, sir.
Would you agree with Chick Track that Catholic Church was inspired by faith that the largest number of Catholics, if not all of them, are going to hell because they are believing in Christ?
I don't know who's going to heaven and who's not. I mean, that's up to God. I know what he told me and what he told everybody in his word. I suspect most Catholics are not trusting the Christ of the Bible. They're trusting the priest or their works to get them to heaven, and that won't get them there. So, yes, they're going to hell, but not because they're Catholic. You're going to hell because they're sinners, and they have a false, you know, if you're drowning and I throw you a brick, you know, instead of a life preserver, and you hang on real tight into that brick, what's going to drag you to the bottom? That's not to save you.
Probably a lot of Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Baptists, everybody else out there going to hell, too.
Oh, there'll be enough Baptists in hell to hold a huge Bible conference. And I'm a Baptist. But, so, yeah.
The Catholic Church emphasize the blood of Jesus. What it sounds like in the Chick Track, they say that Christ is not the infant Mary, but rather the Virgin Mary.
Right. I don't know why they keep calling her the Virgin Mary. I mean, she had seven other kids. They're mentioned in the Bible. You know, they got to get off of that. They got to stop and figure that out. They believe a lot of strange things. Now, I was never a member, but I used to go to the Catholic Church as a kid in Illinois. I have many friends that are Catholic. and I wouldn't fight them for a second. I think some of the things they believe are very seriously wrong compared to Scripture. There are some things I could strongly agree with them on. I mean, I would agree with their stand against abortion, as I understand it. I would agree with their teaching of the Trinity. I would agree with many things that they believe, but I would disagree with lots of things. So I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm for truth, and I'm against error. End of story, you know. So, yeah, I do believe the Catholic Church has some very evil roots, and I believe they certainly have an evil history. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see how many millions of Christians were tortured and killed over the years for refusing to, you know, to believe some of the things the Catholics believe.
What's really ironic about that, actually, they tortured and killed. Full 200 years later, they canonized them.
Right. I mean, they hold the wafer in front of them and say, is this the body of Christ? And the person says, no, that's a wafer you baked in the oven a couple hours ago, you know. It might represent the body of Christ. It's like a picture might represent my wife, but it's not my wife. It's just a picture of her, you know. So if somebody shows me a picture of my wife and says, is that your wife? I say, no. That's a picture of her. It would be a lie to say that is my wife. And it would be a lie to say that wafer is Christ. It's not. It's the wafer. So, yeah, I would have to strongly disagree with many things. And I feel sorry for so many, actually several, probably over a billion people on the planet follow the Catholic teaching. And I think they just haven't thought it through, you know. Stop and think. What do you compare what you believe to the Bible. The fact that a lot of people believe something doesn't make it right. A lot of people believe in evolution. A lot of people believe in Islam. A lot of people believe in Catholicism, you know. You don't determine truth by numbers. You determine truth by what is truth, you know. Is it true? Yes or no? So some things are very easy to determine whether they're true or not. Other things are pretty tough, you know. But I would agree with the Chick track. There's a lot of stuff on the Catholic subject there. And Chick is not anti-Catholic. Man, he has led tens of thousands of them to the Lord. Probably more than any man on the planet. He's not anti-Catholic. He's for truth and against error also.
We've got some of the guys on our staff here that actually just recently went to Africa. And one of them, Jason, he was telling me about a missionary, a Baptist missionary, who flew over the Vatican and dropped out, I think, like 5,000 Chick tracts over the Vatican.
Wow.
I think he got put in jail, but you know, there were 5,000 Chick tracts given out at the Vatican that day.
I'm wondering about that. I believe. Littering charge.
Yeah, I don't recommend that. That's not a good way. I mean, hand somebody a tract, fine, but don't litter. All right, Grant, we got other folks running around the program. Any other questions?
After last show, we talked about the hybrid. Looked up that site, massive, all the different. Okay. Got me thinking. All these things are probably coming. Diversions are developed with isolated environments, which most of the exposures would be happening after the flood, but interbreeding and alterables have an environmental variety we have today. So, before the flood, temperature around the Earth was about the same, fluctuate very little, probably heavy, vibrant. Most people on Earth would have survived. You wouldn't have the diversity we had today. All the animals are much more.
Interesting observation. Yeah, okay. You wouldn't need quite the diversity we have today because of the more uniform climate. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Sounds great.
Good work.
Hey, thanks, Grant. All right, folks, if you want to join us on the program, 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant messages, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. My computer wants to speak, Jonathan.
We've only got about 7 minutes left, so you guys are out there wanting to call in, you better do so fast.
Okay. Did we answer the question about Freemasonry, didn't we?
Yep.
Okay.
Even gave a book, a resource.
Yep. All right. And government misconduct. Can you believe lab coat and clipboard, and they would lie? I don't believe it. My faith is destroyed, Jonathan.
Well, people aren't only, punished for lying. They're punished for wanting to, teach more about evolution. You've got Roger DeHart, who wanted to just bring in secular, prominent scientific journals that talk about, you know, recent I guess, unfoldings in evolutionary theory. He wanted to bring in secular journals. He's got it right there.
Yeah.
And they told him, you can't do that. You cannot tell them that ideas in evolution have changed.
He was a science teacher at the Burlington Edson High School near Seattle. And he was told he could not inform his students of errors in the textbooks by passing out articles from current science journals. He has now moved to Los Angeles, if you want to get a hold of him. He's in Moore Park, California, which is, I believe, L.A. suburb, if I recall. But, you can't tell your students the books are wrong. Teach what's in the text. Man, where's the brain of this principal of this school, you know, that would say such a dumb thing like that?
Where's the spine? I mean, a lot of these principals probably know that it would be the right thing to do to correct the textbooks.
Yeah.
But they're so scared to death of the ACLU.
Why would the ACLU want to defend a lie in the textbook?
I think they just love money. Any big case they can get on.
I was shocked when I stood and testified for 45 minutes before the House representatives in Arkansas, the committee on the bill, which simply said, we're not going to lie to students.
Okay?
Don't lie. Don't purchase books with lies. I went through the 15 lies or so they had in that bill, and I said, yep, this is wrong, this is wrong. The embryo does not have gill slits, okay? The tailbone is not vestigial. There is no geologic column. There are many layers of earth, but there's not different ages to those layers. And I went through all this stuff, and after 45 minutes, the ACLU lady got up, and she said, folks, this is an anti-evolution bill.
She's not happy.
Oh, she was very unhappy. And one of the representatives said, ma'am, evolution's not mentioned in this bill. Why would you call this an anti-evolution bill? This bill is to provide accuracy in textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, all of these things here that you're mentioning are used as evidence for evolution.
Uh-oh.
He said, ma'am, I don't care what they're used for. Are these things right or wrong? Are they lies? She said, well, yes, but this is an anti-evolution bill. She doesn't get it. Or she did get it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
She knew if we simply took the lies out of the textbooks, there would be nothing left to support the evolution theory. It's not my fault they picked the dumb theory. I mean,
well, she said, yes, but I wouldn't just turn around and say, keep your butt out of it.
I was in a debate one time.
Keep truth in the textbook.
I spoke at University of West Florida. You've been there a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Wrote it.
Yep.
What, 8 miles away, 10 miles? And after I went through a bunch of lies in the textbooks, the professor that I debated, who I've debated several times up there,
Pruitt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, Mr. Hovind, you keep saying you want to take all these things out of the textbooks. What are you going to replace it with? I said, you've got to be kidding. We can't take a lie out of the textbook because we have to have a replacement. Think about that.
Some of the things they say are just absolutely ridiculous. The other night I was debating some seminary student on Mormonism. And I was just saying, she was saying, oh, no, we're Christians too because we read the Bible. I was like, well, you're also taking something other than the Bible, the Book of Mormon. I said, you know, if I showed you where the Mormon teacher said that God used to be a man, just like you and I, and then became God, and then you and I can do the same thing, would you then reject Mormonism? And she was saying, no, because no one has ever said that. It's a simple question, yes or no. If they did say that, would you reject it? And she got down to the point where she started saying some of the craziest things. She was saying, you know, I've had 2 years of seminary. I'm a very smart person. Why would I believe something that's wrong? And using that argument as a defense for Mormonism.
I'm smart, therefore everything I believe is right?
Yeah.
That's the logic?
Yeah.
I thought,
come on. I mean, I'm smart too, but I'm not going to say just because I'm smart, therefore I'm right on everything. I've got flaws too.
All right. Well, yeah, discrimination. I couldn't believe Rod Levesque in Faribault, Minnesota, was a teacher who was told he could not tell his students that he doubted Darwin's theory. Here's the article a couple of years ago here, Duluth, Minnesota, in Faribault, Minnesota. Rod Levesque says he doubts much of Darwin's theory of evolution. For that, the high school teacher with a master's degree in biology can no longer teach it.
Master's degree in biology.
And he can't teach it anymore because you doubt Darwin's theory.
He's not a scientist.
Same type of prejudice was in Soviet Union 15 years ago. You doubt communism? Well, then you're not qualified for anything,
mm-hmm.
Even living. You can't even breathe.
If you are going to live, it's going to be very painful.
And if you doubt Nazism, 50, 60 years ago, you're out of here, okay? Or if you doubt fascism in Italy, 65 years ago, you're out of here. That's the same exact thing going on today in America. If you doubt evolution, you can't teach in our school.
It's equivalent to...
My firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance. This nation is asking for action, and action now.
Not many people who know what Franklin Delano Roosevelt was really about respected his administration. But you have to give him credit for really laying it on the line back then in the 30s in a way that applies today. Nothing to fear but fear itself. What's this about terror? If you want this kind of information to get deeper into American society, support Truth Radio. Our address is P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444.
How important is the fact of a six-day creation? Find out on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Many Christians are willing to accept what Genesis has to say about creation, with one exception. They don't want to understand the 6 days as literal, natural, approximately 24-hour day days. Did you know that there are other important portions of Scripture that depend upon those 6 days being literal and normal days? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the Lord is giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. The Lord is explaining the principle of the Sabbath in this verse. God's explanation says that man shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh, because the Lord himself made the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Therefore he blessed the seventh day. These words are repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 13. Surely, no Christian would argue that the Ten Commandments are poetry, to be taken figuratively. The Lord is confirming here that his work of creation really occupied 6 normal days, and that he rested on the 7th normal day. If these days were actually long ages, then we would work for 6 long ages before we take some rest. We can be sure that this is not what the Lord had in mind. If the Ten Commandments are not to be taken literally because of this connection...
You are in tune with www.truthradio.com. You may at times find us elsewhere, but always...